Does God feel very far away? Today, when you pray, does it feel like He's too distant to hear you? Ryan responded to that on Facebook. Lately, I don't hear Him, and I know He, the Holy Spirit, is in me, but it feels like I am alone. And Ann responded to Ryan and said, me too. Do these words echo in your heart today? Why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide your face? Why are you so far from helping me? How long, Lord? I get nothing but trouble all day long. Those words are straight from the Word, straight from the heart of the psalmists who wrote them. Today at the Radio Backyard Fence, Leslie Leland Fields helps us move toward this God who sometimes feels very distant from us. She writes, I'm well-versed in theology, but it often stays stuck in my head. Sometimes I forget God is here. I don't always believe He wants to hear from me. I struggle to believe I'm accepted and forgiven. My heart goes cold and numb. Sometimes I just want to run my own life. Ever feel that way? If those words echo your own heart, don't miss the conversation straight ahead here on Chris Fabry Live online, chrisfabrylive.org. Thanks to our team, Ryan McConaughey doing all things technical. Trisha's in the chair today. Our producer, Gabby T, will be answering your calls. Thank you, friends and partners of this program. What an encouragement to know that you care enough about this hour during the day to support us. And when you do that, for two more weeks, we're sending Glenna Marshall's book, which goes right along with our conversation today. It's titled Memorizing Scripture. If you feel like you can't do that, if you think you're way past the memorizing stage of life, you know, that's for those young whippersnappers. Glenna gives practical help and hope that you can still hide God's Word, and it will do something inside. I was reading the section today on renewing your mind. She writes on page 105, invariably, the process of renewal must always begin in our minds. As I've spent the last several years actively hiding God's Word in my heart, I've noticed a major shift in how I think, react, process, and respond to life circumstances. The more I dwell on Scripture, the less appealing I find the worldly offerings of entertainment and leisure. The more I mumble and meditate on the Bible, the less at home I feel on this earth. It's really encouraging. You can do it, friend. If I can do it, you can do it. Give a gift of any size. We'll send you this spiritual jolt of a book, Memorizing Scripture, the Basics, Blessings, and Benefits of Meditating on God's Word. The number is 866-95-FABRY, 866-953-2279. Give a gift of any size, or if you can't give, I'd love for you to have it too, because I believe somebody else will give. Go to chrisfabrylive.org, chrisfabrylive.org. Scroll down. You can support us right there. And thank you for being a friend or partner with us today. Leslie Leland Fields is an internationally recognized speaker, teacher, multi-award-winning author of more than a dozen books, including Your Story Matters, Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers, and Crossing the Waters, Following Jesus Through the Storms, the Fish, the Doubt, and the Seas, which won Christianity Today's Christian Living Book of the Year. She has three graduate degrees, and she's still going to talk to me. She's taught extensively at the undergraduate and graduate level. She leads faith and writing retreats around the world, as well as on the island where she lives in the summer, and they go fishing for salmon. She lives on Kodiak Island, but Harvester Island is where she and her family commercial salmon fish. I catch my breath. Nearing a Far God is our featured resource today. Leslie, welcome back. How you doing?
I am doing so well. It's great to be back with you, Chris.
And today is the day that the book releases, so it's a very special day for all of us. And I had the opportunity to read this ahead of time, and I am so with you in what you do. Even more so, you know, I've talked a lot about pray the Scriptures back to God. Pray what He has given us. But you've gone even further with this, and I want to talk about it, because your personal story is interwoven throughout what you take us back to in the Psalms. Why'd you do that?
You know, that's a great question, because the Psalms are, we think of them as songs, as poems, and they are, but they tell a story. The entire book of the Psalms actually take us from Genesis to Revelation, and they tell the story of God's people. And that story of God's people, we're invited into that story. And we're invited, I believe that we're invited to step into those Psalms with our own voice, with our own story, along this path, you know, this pilgrim path, which isn't always really fun and smooth, you know, there's a lot of bumps and rough places along the way. And so my story is a way to open up David's story and then the Hebrew story. And then at the end of each chapter, I invite, you know, the reader to step in with their story as well.
Yeah. So it's a very practical, writing intensive way to look at the Psalms and to filter your own life through them and then them through your own life, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's a good way of putting it. And here's why I did this. Well, you probably read how this book started. This book actually started 20 years ago. On that island in Alaska, Wilderness Island, I have 6 children, 1 girl and 5 boys. And we're on this island where there are no cars, there are no roads. I am trapped. And it feels like you're trapped when it's been raining for a week and there's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to go. And my kids were fighting all the time and fishing was intense. And I just was desperate for God. He felt so, so far away. I couldn't find him. I couldn't hear him. I couldn't. And, you know, I was reading the Word of God, right? I wasn't completely, you know, heretical. But I suddenly remembered the Psalms. They're so full of lament, and I knew I needed lament. And so I just turned to the Psalms and I started reading them, but I felt this urge like, no, I need to do more than just read them. I need to step into them. I need to pick up a pen. I need to write them out. I need to engage my body in this, not just my, you know, just not silent reading, which is what we do with the scriptures so much of the time. And I started to do that. I wrote into the lament Psalms and I began to cry out my own laments. And God met me there, Chris. He met me there in those Psalms and in that time spent with him. And that's what started this whole journey into the whole book of the Psalms.
Nearing a far God, praying the Psalms with our whole selves. Now, that was the first thing, even when I looked at the subtitle, it's like, what do you mean by our whole selves? I want to get into that. And I also want to hear the practical way, there's an acrostic nearing that we're going to talk about here today, and then how you write this out. There's a tactical, you want left brain and right brain to be affected by this. But it's a very practical book on your connecting with God himself. And I want to ask you a question as you listen to Leslie and me talk today. What psalm speaks to your life situation right now? Is there a psalm that you have said, I've been praying this psalm or this verse over and over, and I've ruminated on it. I've been mumbling this verse to myself. What is that and why? What's your life situation? 877-548-3675, 1-877-548-3675. And Leslie, since today is the day that the book comes out, there's also an offer for anyone who purchases Nearing a Far God to receive a free audiobook, and Leslie narrates it, so it's worth the price of buying just that itself. But if you buy the book, you also get a free audiobook. You can find out how to do that. We have a link at chrisfabrylive.org, got to receive a free audiobook of Nearing a Far God. And you can see that right there, chrisfabrylive.org. Our number is 877-548-3675 as we talk about the Psalms today at the Radio Backyard Fence. You are not going to hear 10 steps to a more fulfilling prayer life today at the back fence. What you're going to hear is, if there is part of your heart that feels like God is way out there and you're down here and you're wondering, does he hear me? Does he see me? Does he care about me? That's what Leslie talks about in Nearing a Far God, praying the Psalms with our whole selves. It's our featured resource at chrisfabrylive.org. So what do you mean by that phrase, with our whole selves?
Yeah, that's a really important phrase. You know, when God showed up on that mountain before his people, the Hebrews, as he was calling them to himself, he said, hey, everybody, I want you to love the Lord your God with all of your mind, heart, soul, and strength, right? He didn't say with just your mind. I want you to love God. I want you to love me with just your mind. That's enough. He didn't say with just your soul. That's enough. He said all of it, all of it. And that means all, right? All means all. And that means our body. That means our emotions, our heart, our soul, our spirit. And I think that we have approached knowing God, we have approached spiritual formation through the mind so much that we have ignored all these other parts to ourselves. And we are integrated beings. We are fully integrated beings. When I look back on my years in college, and man, I wanted to know God. I went to a Christian college, and so I took every Bible class. I studied Greek. I never went so far as to go, you know, study Hebrew. That's like going to the moon. I couldn't do that. But I studied Greek. I did word studies. I mean, I studied. And I've spent so much of my life studying the scriptures, but the Psalms have really opened up how deficient that approach is in really coming to love God, not just know God, right?
Yes. Because you talk about the knowledge of God versus the ability to trust and to believe, and Blackaby, you know, experience him. And you're not saying don't think about it and don't know things or you do word studies, but there is more to it than just knowing the answers to the big questions that you have.
It is, because really we don't need more information about God. We need to be with God. We need to meet God. And the Psalms are the only book in the Bible. Chris, a lot of us are familiar with the Psalms, and we don't even think about this, but the Psalms are utterly unique in the whole Word of God. And the rest of God's word, God speaks. I mean, that this is what this is. This is God's word. God is speaking to his people. And he speaks, you know, from a burning bush, and he speaks on top of a mountain, and he speaks through prophets, and he even speaks through a donkey. But there's one book in the Bible where man speaks back. And that's what the whole book is man speaking back to God. And so think about this. The Holy Spirit inspired these men, these psalmists, to speak these prayers back to God. And we might say, oh, wow, that's pretty amazing. Yeah, there's no other book that really does that. And then we stop to think about, well, what kind of prayers are these? Are these like, you know, lovely, beautiful, holy, you know, pious, calm words? No, they're angry words. They're words of accusation. Even God, where are you? Why are you so far from me? Why do you not, you know, answer me? Oh my goodness, we get to listen in to God's people with their howls and their yowls and their doubts and their fears and their anguish. I mean, we get to hear from every part of them, every part of their life, and every part of their being. That's what the whole self is all about.
Okay. It's a great answer to that. So the follow-up question then, the next logical question that I think that we're dealing with is, why then are we so afraid to be ourselves with God? Because I meet so talk with so many different people, and I'm one of them who feels like I got to clean up my language, or and I'm not saying to curse at God, but to I've got to clean up myself and present the best self to Him, rather than just being who I am and what I'm going through and pouring that out. I try to manage that my yeah. image to Him. So why do we have such a hard time with that?
I think we don't really get how much our Father loves us. I think we don't really get that he sent his Son to die on the cross because he didn't want to live a moment apart from us. And he wants us to experience that. I think we don't really quite believe it. I think we don't quite really trust it. And let me tell you, it has been a lifelong struggle for me too, to believe this and trust it and build my life on this truth. And there are lots of reasons for that. If, you know, I grew up in a family where I did not experience love. And so that becomes a barrier, right? And there's so many people out there listening right now who know exactly what that feels like. And if you don't experience love from your mother, your father, your spouse, your family, then we have a hard time believing, can my Heavenly Father really love me, really accept me just as I am?
I think that's it for me. It's the marginalization, you know, that I went through as a kid, or not having time to pay attention, you know, either in family or in school or wherever it happened to you, the kind of pushing yourself up to the side, the hymn that talks about, and I'll walk by his side in the way, you know, that old hymn, I've always felt that way. It's like, I'm in Jesus' way. He's like, get out of the way. Come on. You're supposed to follow me. You don't stand in front of me. And so if you feel that way, emotionally, with your life, that you're kind of a bother to everybody and especially to God, then you're not going to get closer to, you're not going to draw near, and you're certainly not going to be honest with Him about what really is going on. But when you start to know that, not just in your head, but experientially, that here is a God who went to these lengths, we're about to experience, you know, what happened on Palm Sunday, and then what happened in the garden, and what happened on Golgotha, and what happened at the tomb. That's the lengths to which He went to tell you, you're not in my way, I want you with me. When you get to that point, you say, okay, even if I feel this way today, I'm going to believe that He is there. I'm going to move toward Him. And that's what you did through this journey the last 20 years, right?
Yes. And so here's what's, and there's so many amazing things about the Psalms, but one of them is we don't have to wait until we feel a certain feeling before we go to our Father. We don't, because the Psalms are there. They're there and they're ready for us. We don't have to wait till we feel like praying or wait till we feel like praising. You know, this is another whole area. We know God commands us to praise Him, and we're supposed to be praising Him, you know, every moment. And, you know, sometimes we don't feel like praising Him, but we don't have to feel like it. We go to the Psalms and we can begin and just step into a Psalm. And you know what? And God does meet us there. And He changes our feelings. And so we come to Him as we are, Chris, however we are, take that step of faith and step into a psalm. And whether that entry point is lament, whether that entry point is praise and thanksgiving and joy, whether it's confession we need to confess something to our Father, whether it's boredom, whatever it is, the Psalms, every human emotion and every circumstance is there. And it's open to us. All we have to do is start. Take that step in. God's going to meet us. He's going to meet us in those words.
You quote Jen, who was a participant in one of your classes after she had gone through studying the Psalms, like you suggest. And she said this, when I marinate in the Psalms, which is a great word when you think about it. You know, when mm-hmm. I marinate in the Psalms, I'm just letting it them kind of seep into my life. My crusty exoskeleton dissolves, exposing the tender areas I have tried to protect by my own means. The sacrifice God wants from me is to stop protecting my own heart, but instead to put my broken, bleeding heart into His hands, to trust Him to hold it together, to protect it, and to heal it. Coming from a past where emotion, tears, feelings were not validated but looked down upon, both in the church group as well as my family, Psalm 51:17 has been a tremendous comfort. God does not despise or look down on me if or when I cry. He comes near as I write into these psalms, and if I will let Him, He holds my broken heart ever so gently. And I have to say, as somebody who was teaching others, you probably felt like you were learning from her when she wrote that.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, it melted my exoskeleton, too. That's my experience as well. And I love she expressed it. She just expressed it so beautifully. We have created all of these walls of fear, of distrust. And God really wants to break through all of that and wants us to know how near He is to us and how much He loves us and cares for us. And He's ready to rescue us. He's ready to answer us when we call. He is there. But we've got to take that step.
Leslie Leyland Fields is with us today at The Back Fence. Nearing a Far God, Praying the Psalms with Our Whole Selves is our featured resource. You can see it at chrisfabrylive.org, and there's an offer of a free audiobook with the purchase of one of the books. So we have a link there that will tell you exactly the three-step process that you can take. Go to chrisfabrylive.org. But I want to jump into one of the psalms today, and maybe now is a good time to talk about the acrostic on I've written it down on page 15. You talk about nearing as an acrostic and how we step into the Psalms. Can you go through that for me?
Yeah. So in the nearing acrostic, N is notate, which means to write the psalm out by hand. So pick up a pen. It doesn't count. You can't do it on your computer. It has to be a pen and to write it on paper. So just that act of writing, you know, you're letting God's word move from your eye to your brain, to your arm, to your hand, to the page. So you're writing out God's word. And already we are surpassing what we normally do, which is just read a psalm silently to ourselves. Now it is moving through our body and we are writing it onto the page. So that's notate. Then E is express, to use your body, use your voice, use gestures, movement to give expression to your psalm. These aren't in order. So express is what we do at the end when we've written into the psalm and entered the psalm. So when we're done, then we would speak it out loud, and we would use whatever physical gestures or postures we that feel organic to the expression of our psalm. So that's using our body. The A in nearing is amplify. So all along the way in these psalms, there are these open doors where I think the psalmist is inviting us to amplify, you know, Lord, where are you? I'm surrounded by enemies. Well, okay, maybe we're not surrounded by enemies. Maybe I'm surrounded by depression, or I'm surrounded by fear. But we amplify, we step into the psalm and write our own circumstances, our own lament, our own praise, our own thanksgiving. So that's the A for amplify. R is read. Again, these aren't in exactly the right order, but R is read. Before we write into the psalm, we want to make sure that we understand the psalm. So you might even read it in several versions, but read the psalm through, understand the psalm just as it is written. This is a really big one, identify. So personalize the psalm to you or to your faith community. So that means stick your name in there and make that psalm was written for you. It's written for all God's people.
So you're making it, you're making it your own. I love that. So we'll get the last two in the acrostic, and then we'll go through this in a psalm. You might want to turn, perhaps Psalm 23. We'll do that when we come back. It's a great conversation with Leslie Leyland Fields. Nearing a Far God is our featured resource. Find out more at chrisfabrylive.org. I'm going to tell you about Ashley. Here's a story from CareNet's 40-day devotional, A Lifeline of Hope. Ashley didn't pay a whole lot of attention to the abortion debate that was raging all around her. She had her whole life in front of her. She was dating a cute guy. He wasn't marriage material, but he's a lot of fun. That was enough. Until she saw the blue line on her pregnancy test. And that brought up a whole lot of questions. How could she be a mother right now? How could he be a father? She'd waited as long as she could to take the pregnancy test because of the fear. Her state had recently banned abortions after 6 weeks. Was it too late? What were her options now? If you go to chrisfabrylive.org, there's a green button that says CareNet. Click that. You'll see a welcome to you and a way to receive that free devotional, A Lifeline of Hope. You can read the rest of Ashley's story. See how the pregnancy decision line is part of their pro-abundant life ministry. Click the green CareNet button today at chrisfabrylive.org. Leslie Leyland Fields is with us today. She's not in Alaska. Don't worry. She's in California because winter lasts a long time where she lives. And she's seeing a little sunshine there in California. Nearing a Far God is a book that releases today, Praying the Psalms with Our Whole Selves. And I mentioned that you can get the free audio book of it, and you can find out how to do that. Just click chrisfabrylive.org, click the link there that we have for you, and you'll find out about it. The nearing as an acrostic, so you notate, express, amplify, read, and identify. We'll get to the NG. But I think that whole thing about slowing down, of writing this out on paper, of letting it go through your eye, into your brain, all the way through your arm, into your hand. Of course, you can. You can type it if you don't want to write it down. But I think there's something about the tactile feel of a pen on a piece of paper that gets it, and then you read it back and you see, this is my handwriting that wrote that. It wasn't something that I pushed, used to be the typewriter or now the keyboard. It's something that I did on the paper. There's something about that, Leslie.
There is indeed. And they, neuroscientists know that it uses so much more of our brain. And of course, it's using our body. And this is what we're talking about. Attaching to God with our whole self. It's not enough to connect to God with our mind. It's not enough to know God with our intellect. We need to know Him, pursue Him, love Him with our whole self. And so that's what the nearing acrostic is all about, is bringing all of us before the Father. And the more of ourselves that we bring to our Father, the more he responds, the nearer we experience Him.
So we write it out, we notate it, we express it, we use our voice, gestures, we amplify, we respond to it, we identify in there. By amplifying it, you mean we respond with whatever circumstances we're going through. Mm-hmm. That kind of touches the nerve. We read it. And this is where other versions come in, because I grew up with King James, and then you read it in a different version, you see, there's a different slant here with the words chosen, that have been chosen to, what's the word I'm looking for? Anyway, I'll figure that out. We identify, personalize the psalm, and then comes the NG, New Testament fulfillment. What do you mean by that?
Well, so a lot of people say, well, I don't like to spend too much time in the Psalms because, Jesus isn't there, or, where's Jesus? I just want to be in the Gospels, or I just want to be in Paul's letters. And the Psalms, of course, are, this is God's word, and Jesus is all through there. And the gospel is all through there. So we come to passages, for instance, the confession psalms, Psalm 51 and Psalm 32, where David is confessing his sin. And there are some wonderful spots in there to plug in some New Testament verses about confession. And 1 John 1:9 comes to mind, right? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So it's a marvelous way to bring the Old and New Testament together, bringing New Testament to amplify the Psalms passages.
Our friend Michael Rudelnik says that Psalms is the hymn book of the Savior. You know, it's the hymn book of the Jesus. And when he's crying from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? He is reciting Psalm 22. And we all know that in our head. But this was so much a part of Jesus' life that it just came pouring from him when he got into that situation. And we're going to get to Psalm 23 here in just a minute. So we go to the New Testament fulfillment. The G is gather. What does that mean?
And gather is many of the Psalms were written to be sung and prayed in community, in the temple, in community. And a lot of us, we have our devotions quietly in our little prayer closet, but it's amazing what happens. We know what happens on Sunday morning when we gather and we raise our voices together. Well, when we write into the Psalms and then share our Psalms with one another, it's the same dynamic is at work, where we are just joined together as one body, and it's powerful. It is so powerful.
All right, let's go to it. Most people know Psalm 23. They've heard it. Even people in the culture, it's like the most famous piece of poetry in all recorded literature. So let's do what you're telling us that we can do with the Psalms. Would you read that for us in whatever? You've got NIV, I know, in the book. I've got ESV. A lot of people have memorized this King James Version. So would you read that and then walk us through what you're talking about?
Yeah, okay. So Psalm 23, right? So, so beautiful. And this is the NIV. But the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd. Leslie's shepherd. Leslie lacks nothing. He, and here, I'm going to personalize this. I'm going to make this direct address to God. You, this is going to be to the Lord. You make me, Leslie, lie down in green pastures. And now I'm going to add a phrase, because last night I was out in a storm in a skiff, and he kept me safe. So you, Lord, make me lie down in green pastures. You save me from the storm last night. You lead me beside quiet waters. You led my skiff home that night. You refresh my soul. Lord, you guide me along the right paths for your name's sake. You led me to this church, to this community of God's people, which has become my family. And even though I, Leslie, am walking through the darkest, hardest valley, Father, I will fear no evil because you are with me, Leslie. Every step, your rod and your staff and your word, they comfort me night and day, even as I'm lying in my bed. Do you hear what I'm doing? Chris, I'm amplifying it. I'm stepping in. I'm using these words are so beautiful and they're inspired, but they're not meant to be the last words of praise. David's Psalms and the Psalms are meant to be the first words. They teach us to pray. They don't steal our words away. They give us our own words to pray from our heart to our Father's heart.
And in doing that, I want to hear about more about the skiff, though, to be honest with you. I mean, was it, so it was a really bad storm? Would you, because you've lived on the water almost all your life. Why would you be scared last night?
Yeah. Well, I'm saying last night as if I were writing this another time. So,
Okay. When you were in Alaska, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Right. Which is where I live. And so, I'm just referencing, you know, that's what I would write. And in fact, this chapter begins with a story of when I'm in the skiff and it's night and it's dark and I'm alone in the skiff and I've got to thread my skiff through these two rocks in the night, and I am absolutely terrified. And this is
early on. This is when you first were married and didn't know you'd signed up for this, right?
Exactly. But, you know, as I'm in that skiff and I'm trying to make my way between the rocks without dying, Psalm 23 came to me. And the Lord came to me in that storm and came to me, you know, through the wind and the waves and in the boat. And so we can know that he is with us, and we can know not just in our head, you know with our body. And so that's what writing into the Psalms and bringing our whole self, bringing our memory, bringing our experience, bringing our own language and voice and story into the Psalms, that's a profound prayer, and that's what God wants us to do. He wants.
It's really
us to
helpful to hear, it's because the other aspect of that is you mentioned the skiff, and I remember reading that story, and you got a lot of harrowing, you know, fishing stories with you and your kids and your husband through the years. But there is a thing that you point out that neuroscientists say that we can block out the trauma in our lives. We can create different neural pathways so that we don't think about those, you know, those hard things, the triggers that we have. But you're saying that God is big enough to slip in to the cracks of the pain and the wounds that we have to give us help and not just to not think about that anymore.
Exactly. That's exactly what he wants to do, Chris. And that's what the Lament Psalms are all about, right? And we're opening up those places of deep pain. And it might be something we're in the midst of in the moment. It might be something that happened 40 years ago. But we do. We wall it off. And when we wall it off to protect ourselves. But what happens is we're also walling it off from God. We're walling it off from his love, from his healing, from his forgiveness, from his everything, that his rescue, from his redemption. And we need to bring all of that to him.
God's word is sharp and powerful, dividing the spirit and the soul, and it is doing exactly that. My guess is there's somebody listening here today who needs to not just know, you know, to have the knowledge that the Lord is my shepherd, that he is that. You can experience that today. Maybe a mom or dad who's going through a really difficult time with a son or daughter, and whatever that situation is, does he really hear me? Is he hearing the heart cry that I have and the fear that I have about my child and what they are going through, and what kind of comfort and compassion will he give me when he feels so far away? He's not. Nearing a Far God, Leslie Leyland Fields is our guest today. Find out more at chrisfabrylive.org. Leslie Leyland Fields has written Nearing a Far God, Praying the Psalms with Our Whole Selves. If you go to chrisfabrylive.org, we have a link right there that says how to receive a free audiobook of Nearing a Far God. So if you buy the ebook or the softcover copy of the book, there's a way to get a free audiobook, which I love. I love to do both at the same time, to listen to the book from the author's heart/lips to my ears, as well as reading it. And you can do that. Again, we have a link right there, chrisfabrylive.org. In our remaining moments, I really want to talk about lament, because there are a lot of people going through a lot of hard stuff today, mm-hmm. Leslie. So why is this so important?
Oh, my goodness. There's just a lot of pain out there in the world, in our own lives, in our own neighborhoods. And what are we going to do with this pain? We try all kinds of things to get rid of this pain, and it doesn't go away. So let's try something new. Let's try bringing it to our Father. And there's something amazing that happens when we do that. And we can talk about, you know, all the Psalms do this, but the Lament Psalms in particular, they start right where we are, the moment that we're in. I'm looking at Psalm 6, and David is writing, I'm worn out from sobbing. All night I flood my bed with weeping, drenching it with my tears. Now, can you see that happening, right? We see that happening. And you know what happens in this psalm? So imagine he is writing this psalm, and the next verse he says, go away, all you who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord will answer my prayer. Within a few sentences, he has gone from pouring out tears from his eyes to this moment of, oh, the Lord has heard me. I know he's heard me. I know he will answer my prayer. And there's so many psalms that do this, that they begin and lament in the pain of the moment. And they create this verbal bridge, that word by word, brings us, lifts us up to the throne of God. Our reality of pain and hurt and wounding is not the only reality. There's a bigger reality, a better reality, and that is that we have a Father who loves us so much. He gave himself for us, and he is ready to hear us and rescue us. He just wants to be with us, Chris. That's what all this is about. We're about to enter into Easter, but the whole point of Jesus on the cross and rising up to new life is so that this Father of ours he wants to dwell with his children. That's us. He wants to dwell with us, and he especially wants to dwell with us through our hardest and most painful moments. Hmm.
Just a few verses before that, he says, my bones are troubled. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled. And I have a devotional psalter that I read through, and I just underline and take notes. And on that one, there was a friend of mine that was going through a situation with cancer, and it had gone, they thought it had gone to his bones at that point in 2022. Mm. And so I can see, and in the devotion with that says, David does not apply a formula to his pain, but rather this, God. You do not need a formula. You need him. And that's what all of these psalms lead us to, right?
They do. And here's the thing, again, we don't have to wait until we feel like lamenting or feel like praising, or just go to the Psalms. Just as you are right now, step into that Psalm. And I'm asking people to step in whole person, not just, you know, if you just want to read it silently, that's fine. But I think the invitation is for more and for deeper, but step in and God's going to meet you right where you are. And you know what? He's not going to leave you where you are. He's gonna bring you to his throne. He's gonna bring you to a place of safety. He's gonna bring you to green pastures. He's gonna bring you into his love and his presence. And that's what changes everything right there. The presence of God with us.
And if you think that he is very far away, or you feel that he is very far away, that may be the entrance of your heart drawing near to a God who is nearer than you could ever imagine. The acknowledgement, God, I feel like you're far away today. And I want you to be near me. I love, because what you just said, it builds a verbal bridge basically to the heart of God by doing this. And we just scratched the surface, Leslie. It's a fantastic help. You know, you are vulnerable. You even are vulnerable enough to tell us that you lied in order to get in to see the movie The Ten Commandments, which I think is irony.
True story. Yeah. Yes.
When you were 11 years old, she only had $1. So she said she was 11, even though she was 12. Okay. So nearing a far God, praying the Psalms with our whole selves. It's our featured resource. We have a link to it at chrisfabrylive.org. And Leslie, for another month or so, is offering a free audiobook if you get a copy of the soft cover book or the ebook. So you can find out more about that. Click the How to Receive a Free Audiobook at chrisfabrylive.org. Leslie, God bless you, friend. Thanks for being with us today.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Chris.
We're going to talk about the gift of limitations tomorrow at the Back Fence. Hope you could be here for Chris Fabry Live, a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.